Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Yesterday on Sirius XM NFL Radio, Eli Manning predicted that Tom Brady might get off to a bumpy start in Tampa. Eli said, quote, "I think it's going to be tough for him. Just the fact that he can't be doing everything he wants to be doing with the team and getting ready." And guys, according to Fox Bet, the Bucs win total for the year is currently set at 9.5 games. So, Shannon, does Eli have a point here about Brady?
He does. For the very first time, Skip, in 20 years, he's going to hear new verbiage. He's going to hear different calls. Now, everybody runs the same route. We just call them different things. But the verbiage, the terminology is going to be different. Now everything is going to be condensed. Skip, we all believe that the season's going to take place. But when does OTA start? When does minicamp start? So is everything's going to be condensed, going to be compressed? And so we all know Tom Brady is a stickler. He likes to rehearse. He likes to go over things. He likes to throw with his receivers. How soon, when would that happen? So if things get compressed, everything's get shortened, and then we go to the season, I can see what Eli's saying. Yes, he can get off to a bumpy start. He didn't say he's going to struggle all year, but he's saying, you know, considering that new terminology, a new place, new coaches, unfamiliar setting, and a condensed OTA mini camp or training camp, yes, I can see Tom getting off to a bumpy start. And so I do agree with Eli. Not to say that this is going to carry on throughout the course of the season, but it might be slow. It might be tough sledding because this is new for him. I would have less concerns if he was in New England, Skip, for the simple fact he knows that. He knows Edelman. He's thrown in N'Keal Harry. But this is a total different situation. And so I agree with Eli. Tom could be in for a bumpy ride to start the season.
So can I just get this out in the middle of our virtual table today?
Sure.
The Manning brothers do not like Tom Brady. The Manning brothers are resentful and jealous of Tom Brady, dare I say, because the older brother, Peyton, the other day on Denver radio, we talked about it here on Undisputed, made a sarcastic remark about after Tampa had signed Rob Gronkowski, oh, now they're going to win the Super Bowl for sure. Okay. You don't have to hate.
Oh, my goodness.
You could just sort of deflect, avoid, you maybe not answer the question. You don't have to take a sarcastic shot at Tom in Tampa. And now Eli, who never says anything about anybody, you know, for Eli, this is like hellfire and damnation to say it's going to be a bumpy ride for Tom Brady. He's never criticized anybody in his life.
But again, Skip, what I don't understand with you is that when people take shots at LeBron, you love it. You standing on the table. Did you hear what David Blatt said? Did you hear what Charles Barkley said? Did you hear what this was said? Mm. The moment somebody offers an honest assessment about Tom Brady, they're hating. Eli owned Tom Brady. He kept the man from getting the bowl. Why Eli want to hate?
Eli lucked up twice against Tom Brady. Tom should have won both those games.
No.
Yes, he did. Eli got away with completing the luckiest pass in the history of the Super Bowl, a pass and a prayer in which he basically put his hand over his eyes and threw it as far as he could into the dangerous middle of the field. And David Tyree, like the sixth receiver on his roster, caught it in his face mask over Rodney Harrison. I've never seen anything like it before, and yet Belichick's defense once again spit the bit under pressure. 2 minutes left in the game, they allowed the game-winning touchdown. Okay, so here's what's happening. Peyton Manning is now 44 years of age, about a year older than Tom is, and he'll play at 43. And I think Peyton, you know, Peyton, like a lot of ex-players, is looking at Brady shattering the mold, playing at 43 for a really good team that has a chance to win next year. And that mold shattered Peyton because when it was time to stop, he finally just had to stop. It was historically predictive of when he was going to have to stop, and he did. And Eli now is 39 years of age, and it looks like the game might just have passed him by, and he might have played his last NFL down at age 39. And they're looking at Tom at 43. surrounded by two Pro Bowl receivers and two very good tight ends on top of another tight end he just added. And this is my problem with what Eli said yesterday. He did not bring up Rob Gronkowski. Neither did you. All of a sudden, Tom's got his security blanket. The receiver he has trusted the most under fire, big game pressure situations, is not Edelman, it's Gronkowski. We saw what happened in the last Super Bowl that Tom won two Super Bowls ago. The big passes were caught by Gronk to start and finish that game-winning drive in the middle of the fourth quarter of a tie game. And Rob Gronkowski is now a buck. So if you miss OTAs and you miss most of training camp, he's got one guy who knows him and fits him like two gloves, and it's Gronk. And Gronk will be there for him in the first couple of games, so I think that will get him over the hump. I don't think it will be as bumpy a ride as you think because of that guy and those two Pro Bowl receivers who are both, especially Mike Evans, they're just go up and get the ball kind of receivers, especially Evans. When in doubt, I believe Tom could just throw him some jump balls and it will work. This team is loaded on offense and I think on defense as well. It has the fifth best odds on Foxbet to win the Super Bowl. And for a while, it was the fourth best odds, just above New Orleans. Now it's just a tick below New Orleans at 13-1 versus 12-1. So it's all good. And I don't know why Peyton and Eli can't just say, way to go, Tom. Congratulations. Good luck to you. But you got a sweet situation down there, and it should be a lot of fun. That's what they should say.
No, they shouldn't, Skip. They should offer an honest assessment of what they believe is going to transpire. Skip, we got to get out of this notion. Anybody that says something that's not praises, that's not bouquet of roses at Tom, is not hating. And you can study all the film you want, Skip. If that was the case, if you didn't need to practice, why does people practice then? Why not just study, study the tape, go in the meeting room, just study, and go home, I'll see you on Sunday. Of course, you practice. There's a reason why people install practice, Skip. That's all Eli said. No one can say anything about Tom Brady without hating. Skip, all I know is Eli said, I got two Super Bowls. I'm going to go to the Hall of Fame thanks to Tom Brady. That's what Eli can say. I'm going to be in Canton. Thank you, Tom. Why would I want to hate? Peyton Manning, the last three times they faced in meaningful ball games, Peyton won. You remember, Skip? The Super Bowl, the AFC Championship game in 06, they met again in 15, and they met in 12, in 13. So the last three meaningful games they played, Peyton won. So let's not get it twisted, Skip. Everybody is not jealous of Tom Brady. You think Romo is jealous? He has to offer an honest assessment. Nobody says Romo is jealous, Skip. No, you got to stop this. But as long as they take shots at LeBron James, ain't nobody jealous. They offering an honest assessment. They played, and, you know, Charles is just so honest, and this one, and yada, yada, yada. David Blatt, he's the winningest international coach in the really? Really? That's like saying somebody, he's the best American football player out of Germany. Who? What? You got to do it here, Skip Bayless. You got to do it in the big leagues. So, in other words, Eli isn't saying, Skip, he didn't say Tom Brady going to stink up the joint. He says it might be bumpy in the beginning because everything's going to get condensed. Tom Brady doesn't know these teammates. And like you said, Tom Brady is not just used to throwing the ball up. Romo could do that. Romo could probably just come in because he threw the ball up to Dez and Dez would jump up and catch it. Okay, that's his game. That's not Tom Brady's game. Tom Brady's everything is on timing, is on repetition. You be where you're supposed to be. Well, he's going to have to retrain himself because sometimes he's just going to put it up and Mike Evans is going to jump up and catch it. So you need to get that routine down. That's all Eli says, Skip. We got to stop this notion that anytime somebody critiques Tom and it's not, oh, he's the greatest ever, it's hate.
We have had a parade of ex-players on Undisputed just spew Brady hate, and it comes from a position of jealousy and resentment that he's still going strong and has a chance to go win another Super Bowl at age 43 when all of the rest of you were forced to stop prematurely before you really wanted to. Your body gave out or your heart and mind gave out. You just couldn't stomach the grind anymore. And Tom Brady is on fire to play in Tampa. And he's talking about playing for 5 more years in Tampa.
He can play 10. Let me ask you a question, Skip, you don't mind me asking. Of the all-time historically great players, which one is played as well as LeBron in year 17 as LeBron is playing right now? Any of the historically great players, from Kareem to Will all the way back down, name the one that's playing as great as LeBron. Oh, that's right. Charles Barkley did play 17 years.
We're talking about Tom Brady, the GOAT. We're not talking about the phony GOAT.
We can't let him leak into this conversation.
He just contaminated a GOAT conversation.
You see what you did? See, LeBron James is in year 17, having a historically great season. When people critique him that didn't even make it to year 17, let alone play great in year 17, they didn't play as well as LeBron played in year 14, 15, 16, didn't even make it to 17. They're not jealous. They're just offering their honest opinion. Eli Manning offered an assessment of what he thinks is going to happen, considering that Tom Brady has heard one terminology for 20 years, have had a set of rules in how he do things one way for 20 years. He says, I think it's going to be a little bumpy. Things are going to be condensed. New teammate. Oh, he hating. Whoa, man, he hating on Tom Brady. Stop this, Skip. You perpetuate this bull jive, thinking that anytime someone critiques Tom Brady or critique his play or what they think the assessment of the team's going to be is hate. It is not. People can sometimes tell the truth and it not be hate, okay? But if telling the truth is hate, I'm a hating mofo.
A lot of players in the NBA have played longer than 17 years. So let's keep that in perspective. Nobody has played to age 43 at a high level in the National Football League, the high contact game that is pro football. So let's separate the phony GOAT from the GOAT.
Skip, the only guy that you can say that was close to maybe what LeBron is doing is probably Kobe. Probably Kobe, because Kobe played 20 years, and I think year 17, maybe year 18, he was the one he tore his Achilles, if I'm not mistaken, Skip. So stop. So all these other guys that's offered these assessments, they're jealous. They're jealous of old GOAT James, because he's still going strong. And guess what? He said, I'm back for year 18, too, coming off the title. We're going to win that title. They can push the season. They can play these last games in June, July. It doesn't matter. We're going to win that title. Mm.
All anybody is talking about right now is the GOAT, not Brady, Michael Jordan. Thank you for bringing that up.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, time for some exciting news. Fox Sports Digital, the team that produces this podcast, has been nominated for a Webby Award for our coverage of the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup in Paris. I was there covering the U.S. Women's National Team's incredible run as repeat champs. C'était vraiment incroyable. It was truly such an amazing opportunity and experience. So many stories I was lucky enough to help tell. If you enjoyed our work, we'd love it if you could visit vote.webbyawards.com. That's vote.webbyawards.com to support our entries. Fox Sports was nominated for Best Overall Social Coverage for our nightly show, Fox Sports World Cup Now, and for a digital feature we produced on Brandi Chastain, who looks back 20 years later on her famous PK that won the 1999 Women's World Cup. Thanks again, Undisputed listeners. We appreciate your voting consideration. And now, back to the show. No mercy. According to the latest NFL power rankings, the Cowboys moved up one spot from 11 to 10 due to their performance in the draft. NFC East rival Philadelphia remained at the 12th spot on the list despite winning the division last season. So, Shannon, how do you feel about this list? Did they get it right?
Hell no. They do this every year for the Cowboys, and this was 24 years straight. 24 years in counting, Skip Baylor. Woo, for the Cowboys draft. Oh, the Cowboys, they won the offseason. Jerry really hit it out of the park. And every year, at the end of the year, this is what I see on the Cowboys sideline. I see fans in the stands. This is all I see. I see Skip Baylor's coming out here talking about his coach, He talking about Dak didn't do it and this one and yada, yada, yada. For 24 straight years, that's what I've heard. And I'm trying to figure out, how did you guys get better? I mean, what did you do? Didn't the Eagles win the division? Yes, they did. Signed Darius Slay, Nicole Roby-Cobian, Javon Hargrove. They got faster on offense with Jalen Reagor, traded for Marquise Goodwin. D-Jack comes back. Alshon comes back healthy. Dillard, who they drafted last year in the first round, takes over at left tackle for Jason Peter. How y'all get better? I mean, defense. What y'all doing defense, Skip? Who y'all DBs? Who your pass rusher? Oh, I forgot. Y'all waiting on one guy that hadn't played in 5 years and another guy that hadn't played in 2 years. Y'all waiting on them to get reinstated. And then we'll talk to you. Once those guys get reinstated, we're going to be on our way, Skip. Okay. Man, stop this. I know you want the Cowboys to be good, but this ain't the year it's going to happen. Because you know why, Skip? The bad juju going to get you because of the way Jerry doing Dak. Good things don't happen to bad people. You're jerking Dak around, and so guess what? The bad karma going to get you. It's going to get you, Skip Bayless, and I'm going to be laughing. Hopefully we'll be back in the studio. Hopefully we'll be back in the studio, because this won't do it justice. Me being in my palatial estate over here and have the Cowboys lose and you at your place, the only way I'm going to do the show for a football season, if I do it from your house, I need to see the look on your face when the Cowboys lose week after week after week and me get to enjoy it.
My turn. Speaking of bad juju, speaking of instant karma's gonna get you, John Lennon, what just happened to your Eagles? What just happened to bounce it to them, Wentz? They just drafted my guy, Jalen Hurts, in the second round. You have a new self-inflicted quarterback quandary. I had to watch Carson Wentz yesterday try to argue out of it, saying, it's going to be okay. I'm okay. They believe in me, and I believe in baloney. They went and got a starting quarterback to be your backup in the second round. And Carson Wentz had the audacity and naivete to say, I have confidence in myself in that room. I know that I'll be the most motivated person in that quarterback room because that's just the way I'm put together. Wait until you get to know Jalen Hurts. You want to talk about motivated? You want to talk about dynamic leader? You want to talk about lightning rod team detonator? It's Jalen Hurts. Shannon, your guy's in trouble. This isn't about Nick Foles taking over. Now they went and got this guy in the second round. And yeah, they're going to use him immediately in this package or that package. And I promise you, he'll do very well. He will start to have an impact. And the fans are going to start booing Carson Wentz when he throws his first interception. You got trouble in Philadelphia because you have a huge instant threat to Carson Wentz. Clearly, Howie Roseman, the GM, and Doug Peterson, the coach, don't trust him. They don't trust his durability. I'm not sure they trust his capability to play big in the biggest moments. And they're going to fast-track Jalen Hurts to see, well, maybe we could segue to him sooner than later. So, again, you've already got a problem. I got a solution. I got Andy Dalton. I got a starter of a backup quarterback while my quarterback is holding out. I told you earlier, I think this will be the catalyst to get that deal done sooner than later. And you're right. Jerry Jones won the offseason. He's been spectacular. He kept Amari from going to the rival Redskins. He overpaid, but I'll take it. I'll take Amari because his numbers were still spectacular despite the fact that he quit at New York and he quit at New England and he quit at Philadelphia and got yanked. Okay, I got it. But he's still there and he's still really good. And then in free agency, man, you want to talk about beefing up with Gerald McCoy and Dontari Poe? You want to talk about adding a proven veteran in the secondary and Ha Clinton Dix? And yeah, I believe Aldon Smith and Randy Gregory will get reinstated. And I just have this gut feeling they're both going to contribute at a high level the way they have contributed before. And Jerry Jones won the draft. Six straight picks. He stole players. And CeeDee Lamb is going to be a star. I told you that. This isn't a second guess. It was a first guess. I went on the record. He's the best receiver in the draft, and he fell into our laps, sixth on the board, all the way down to 17. And yeah, do we need DBs? Trevon Diggs and Reggie Robinson, they can play corner or safety. They're big corners, they're physical, and they get their hands on footballs. Opposed to Byron Jones, who couldn't find the football in his 5 years in Dallas. So will the defense be better? You better believe it will be. Will the offense have top of the league firepower? Yes, it will. And finally, our 8-8 dead weight of a head coach, Jason Coach Clapp Garrett. He's gone. I got a made man. I got Mike McCarthy. He coached Joe Montana and he coached Brett Favre. And he coached Aaron Rodgers, and he'll either coach up Andy Dalton if need be, and I'm good with that, or he'll take Dak to another level, and I'm great with that. So I love my football team. I love the momentum of it. Fox Bet clearly loves it considerably more than it loves the Eagles, so I don't see what the issue is. Nope, no games have been played yet. It's still zero and zero across the board. But right now, my Cowboys, at least on paper, are better than the quarterback quandaried Eagles featuring Carson W-I-N-C-E Wentz.
Skip, the Eagles starting quarterback is under contract. Your starting quarterback is not under contract. And you just brought in Andy Dalton, which you said is Jerry might like, well, hold on, look at this. Okay, as a matter of fact, Dak, the money that I was offering just went down because I believe, your replacement right here. You don't think that's a situation? Your quarterback's not signed. You signed a quarterback that's been a starter since he was in the league to be his backup. Oh, but you don't think that's a situation. You think the situation that they got brewing in Philly is more dangerous than what you got brewing in Dallas?
No. Because Andy Dalton is no threat to Dak Prescott. Zero threat.
Okay.
He's just the greatest insurance policy you could ever have. If Dak wants to hold out and dig in and quote unquote go to war, we got Andy Dalton. Right now, I know is in his first 5 years in the league, he averaged 10 wins a league and he made three Pro Bowls and went to four playoffs. Love it. I'm good. It's just a backup plan. It's an in case of. If Dak wants to sign today, I hope he does. Andy Dalton will be no threat. He's a good soldier. He's a great guy. He will sit in the shadows and hold that clipboard all year. He'll play no games because Andy Dalton's plan is to go back on the market after next year.
And guess what, Skip? Jalen Hurts will play no games, no meaningful snaps in games, if Carson Wentz does what he's supposed to. See, my guy is already under contract. All he has to do is go play. Your guy is not under contract. You got to get him signed. And it has to be to his liking or he's not going to sign it. And he's not going to be happy, Skip. He's not going to be happy.
Yes, he will.
What? You're going to franchise him again?
He'll be the happiest camper.
No, he won't. So what you going to do? Skip, you do realize, let's just say for the sake of argument, Dak signs that franchise tag. And you guys, for some ungodly reason, go far into the playoffs. You do know you strengthen his case. You do know what that means. This is your problem. You keep putting off thinking you keep betting against yourself. You're like, well, Dak gonna come down. Dak gonna play bad. He plays better. Dak gonna play bad. He plays better. All you're doing is betting against yourself, and it's gonna end up biting you in the butt. Watch what I tell you. Remember, you heard it here first. It's going to bite you in the butt because you keep trying to penny pinch old Dak.
All I heard here first was he can't play. He's a below average quarterback. I give him an F and an F and an F and an F for all of his performance last year. That's what I heard first from the Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp. Dak can't play. Now pay the man his money, says Shannon Sharp.
Skip. There you go, Skip. No. Skip, there were games. There were games that I said He played well. But I also said there were games that when you gave him passing grades, they lost when they were empty calories. Now it comes time to contract. You say, yeah, those were empty calorie gains. But when I was saying that at the time, you were like, no, my guy's a warrior. You didn't want to hear that. Now it comes time to get paid. You want to use everything that I said against it. Dak plays a premium position. It's just like real estate. Location, location, location. In the NFL, it's all about position, position, position. If you want to make the top of the line dollars, play a premium position. Quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher. That's where the money is, Skip Bayless. So in other words, Dak plays the most premium position in the NFL, quarterback. And that comes with a big price tag. Pay the man.
Pay the man. All I said was I was honest about my quarterback. I've always said he's a top 10 quarterback. I did not say he's better than Patrick Mahomes. And I did say that last year in some big moments, he did not make the big play that he had made in previous years. He missed Tavon Austin wide open for a touchdown that could have tied the game at Philadelphia in the do-or-die game at the end of the year. They would have had to go for two to tie, go to overtime, but he missed him. And he missed a few key throws last year, and I can't defend that. So you don't deserve money that will keep you beyond Mahomes even after Mahomes signs his contract. You can't do that. You're not that great yet. You project to be very good, but not all-time Hall of Fame great. So that's all. He's very. We can win 12 games with him next year if he'll just come to his senses, see the light, swallow a little pride, and compromise just a little bit. He'll still be the top-paid quarterback for a while, and that'll be good enough. You'll make exceptional money playing for a loaded football team. God is good.
The only thing Dak needs to swallow is an A5 steak with some nice wine after he celebrate this $40 million contract with $100 million fully guaranteed. That's the only thing he needs to celebrate, Skip Bayless. Don't do that now. Oh, now all of a sudden, he's not Patrick Mahomes. You was arguing with me at the Super Bowl. Jenny, you remember, we had a topic. Skip Bayless said he would take Dak over Mahomes, boy. And now all of a sudden, it come time to get that money. You don't want to give him his money. No mercy.
Well, we are just over halfway through the Last Dance docuseries, and we have heard story after story about how competitive Michael Jordan is and how many all-time greats consider him the GOAT. And we are through six episodes. And Skip, I want to start with you. And just for the record, I don't know if I've said this to you. It is so cool that you were there living it, a part of it, experiencing that final year. But I want to know, when you look at The Last Dance, how much has it hurt LeBron's GOAT case?
To me, LeBron never had any GOAT case to start with. But Shannon, I must admit to you here today on Undisputed, I'm feeling sorry for you because this is officially your last dance. This is officially time to sell your GOAT mask on eBay. It's over. It's concluded because the floodgates have opened, or should I say the GOAT gates have opened, pouring through with opinion that is now deifying Michael Jordan as the all-time official game over GOAT and criticizing LeBron. It has provided opportunities for us to hear from Magic, Michael's the GOAT. From Larry Bird, Michael's the GOAT. From Dennis Rodman saying, well, I could have shut down LeBron. His game is simple. He doesn't have any moves. We got to hear just recently from two of LeBron's former coaches. Mike Malone, now the Denver coach, was LeBron's assistant coach in Cleveland the first time around for 5 years. And he just flat out went on the record and said, in killer mentality, Michael was better than LeBron is. And we heard David Blatt, you can say there was bad blood, that LeBron got him fired, but he just framed it as saying, well, Jordan never, he never left the same place. He won all six championships in Chicago. He didn't chase superstar teammates. He didn't chase championships by taking his talents to South Beach or going back to Cleveland and then to Hollywood. No, he just stayed in Chicago and went 6 for 6. And also said David Blatt, who should know, that Jordan was all about us, while he implied that LeBron was about I. Well, I've not implied that. I've flat out said that. And I told you when Kyrie left LeBron, a source very close to Kyrie told me he was just sick and tired, Kyrie was, of LeBron's stat stuffing and making it more about his reputation, his image, his legacy, than about winning championships. So all of a sudden we hear John Sally say, well, Michael wasn't human. That's why we had to invent the Jordan rules. And we heard Mark Jackson on SportsCenter last night, a guy who's studied LeBron from courtside, who played against Jordan in a game 7. I was there at courtside for that game, Indiana versus Chicago in 1998. Mark Jackson just said, he's the best player on the planet. Charles Barkley said, he's the best player who ever played, and there was no shame in me losing to a guy when I stepped on the court with him. I just knew for the first time in my life, I wasn't the best player on the court. So it's been this deluge of opinions and a video of vintage Jordan that makes me feel for you, Shannon, because it's an onslaught that you cannot overcome. You can't argue your way out of this. And in the end, the last dance was LeBron's last dance as well as Michael Jordan's.
If you don't mind me asking, name another great player that when he stepped on the court, Magic said, man, it wasn't no problem me losing to Larry Bird because Bird was better than me. Or Bird stepped on the court and said, I didn't mind losing to Magic because Magic was better than me. Name the great player, historically great, transcendent great player, says, you know, I don't mind losing. What player says he doesn't mind? First of all, what player says he doesn't mind losing? The mere fact that he said that, I am good. That explains why he got no titles, because he didn't mind losing. So that ends it for me right there. That explains a lot. For David Blatt, how do you know, Skip, Michael Jordan said he didn't like the triangle because it took the ball out of his hand. If that's not selfish, they were imploring him. You need, Magic said, Larry said, he needed to get other guys involved. He, one-on-one basketball. The reason why he loved Kobe so much is because he saw his reflection in Kobe. That's what he was, a one-on-one ISO player, selfish. But because he was so great, that's okay. Man, I can't believe y'all. This is what we come to. Y'all trying to dump on LeBron to try to suppress us. We're a nation of millions, bro. It takes a nation of millions to hold us back. We coming, Skip. Nothing has changed. Nothing. Michael is done. His resume is complete. Period. The end. That's it. Oh, I forgot those 2 years in Washington. P.S. I played 2 more years in Washington, and I wasn't very good. LeBron James, year 17, still kicking. 2 more years than Jordan played. You do remember, Skip, last year he barely averaged 20. That was year 15. My guy, Gold James, a hefty 25.7. 10.6 assist with a nice almost 8 rebounds a game. That year, 17, 2 more years longer than what your guy actually played. Now, you see the problem that y'all have, Skip. LeBron James, I believe, would have spent a lot, basically his entire career in Cleveland. I don't know. I don't believe LeBron would have ever went to Miami if he could have got Chris Bosh or he could have got players to come join him. Like the Lakers got, say, Michael Thompson, like they got a Bob McAdoo, like they got a Jamal Wilson. Skip, you do realize Jamal Wilson was at the Warriors, right? That's who got him. They got him. The Lakers didn't draft Michael Thompson. The Lakers didn't draft Bob McAdoo. They didn't draft Jamal Wilson. They got, no, so what? So if a team get other players to come, that's cool. That's team building. So, but if a player leaves and goes somewhere else, oh, he jumping, he chasing rings. What's the difference? It's team building. What LeBron James did that Michael couldn't do. LeBron James empowered the players. Now you see, guys, LeBron James is more powerful. That's what's rubbing people the wrong way, because LeBron James got something these guys never had. LeBron James has a Thor hammer, and when he swings it, the pendulum shifts. Skip, we need to stop this, Skip, because teams trade and move players all the time, and they say that's team building. If LeBron James had competent people that could have built a team around him, like the great Jerry West and Dr. Buss did, or like Red Auerbach, Coach Auerbach did for Larry Bird, that would have been no problem. No matter what you think about Jerry Krause, maybe he wanted too much credit. I believe he was the shield for Jerry Reinsdorf's sniveling little self behind the scene. That's what Jerry Krause was. He was the perfect shield for Jerry Reinsdorf. That's who should be getting a lot more to blame. But Jerry Krause did a great job of building a team, Skip. LeBron never had that until he got to Miami. So with that being said, Skip, for me, I saw all that. The only thing I didn't know is all that behind the scenes stuff, and I'm glad I got an opportunity to see it. I'm still going to eat bacon, but I know how it's made. I'm still going to love Michael Jordan, but I'm glad to see what made him even more so. But GOAT James ain't going nowhere. As a matter of fact, Skip, we just stacking on. Just adding on. And so, you need to read the complete article that Mike Malone said. Just don't take that tidbit. Read the entire article and see what he said about old GOAT James.
I would like to refer to your remark about Thor, LeBron Thor James, swinging that hammer. And he said, watch what I can do. I can take my talents to South Beach. And he goes to South Beach and he joins forces with Dwayne Wade, star, superstar, championship Dwayne Wade, Wade County, and Chris Bosh, multiple all-star in Toronto. And Thor goes to the finals and takes his hammer and he goes kaboom and hits himself right on the finger. And he shrinks and he fails and he disappears in the finals. That's what Thor did with his hammer. He pounded himself right on the finger. And it was over. He melted down like the Wicked Witch.
So let me ask you a question, Skip. I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. So Bird with Mikhail, Parrish, Dennis Johnson, and Bill Walton, they never lost in the finals. Magic Johnson with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, Michael Thompson, and Bob McAdoo, they never lost in the finals. I just want to make sure, because I just need context. I need people to understand that other great players have lost in the finals. Is that what you... Okay.
This is about the greatest player. This is about Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And this is about a Jordan who did not love the triangle. And when push came to shove, as we saw in game six at Utah, a game I was right there at courtside, Scottie Pippen was sick and he was hurt and he was pretty useless. And Michael said, I got this. Hell with the triangle. I'm it. I'm the devil's triangle for the Utah Jazz. Watch this. And he played 44 minutes and scored 45 points to the combined 42 points of all the rest of the Bulls. 8 points came from Scottie Pippen that night. And who took the last shot with Scottie wide open over on the wing? I'm open. Nope, you're not. I got this. It was Michael. LeBron would pass that shot up. LeBron passes that ball to George Hill. But Michael said, no, I got this. And he goes up and holds the pose. And it's game over, walk-off, literal walk-off shot for his career.
No, Michael.
I'm sorry.
Michael.
Yeah, it's just he's so far beyond anything LeBron. LeBron runs from those shots.
Whoa. Michael Jordan passed that shot to Steve Kerr. That's neither here nor there. It's good. But you remember when they were down 3-1. And LeBron said, you're 79-3, a unanimous MVP, a 50-40-90 guy, 50% from the field, 40 from the three, 90 from the free throw line. The only unanimous MVP. Down 3-1, LeBron said, we get this game here. It's on. And then he said, you heard him. They shook. They scared like some mofos. We going there and we coming back. And you didn't see anything. When he said they drawing up the play, he said, Ty Lue, let's put Steph Curry in the pick and roll. Get him on Uncle Drew. Kyrie, do what you do to him. Now, see, had Michael said that, because remember, coming out of the timeout, Michael told Steve Kerr he going to be wide open. He passed it to him. LeBron James did the same thing. And you're talking about he was scared. He didn't want to take the shot. Skip, we here, Skip. The only reason you have intel and everybody's trying to suppress this uprising is because Russia and China, we not intelling no Cameroon. We not intelling Djibouti. Because you know why? Because they no threat. The threat is what you try to suppress.
Shannon, it's sad. LeBron had to pop up last week wearing his Space Jam 2 hat, the new legacy. I'm still here. Remember me? I'm LeBron James.
The man can't.
We're
skip.
Sorry. It's can't over, LeBron. You're the phony goat.
So, let me ask you a question. So, if the man eat food, he's not supposed to eat. He's supposed to just get his food through a tube because Michael Jordan ate off a fork. So he tried to be like Michael Jordan eating off a fork. How dare he, Jenny, eat off a fork because Michael Jordan ate off a fork? How dare he ever be married?
Shannon.
He shouldn't even be married.
Shannon, I'm sorry. LeBron James is rated PG as in phony goat. That's what Space Jam will be rated, PG.
I'm surprised everybody said the only reason LeBron got married is because Michael Jordan was married. If Michael Jordan would have been single, LeBron would have stayed. You gotta stop this, Skip. You keep this bull job going because Michael Jordan did something. That doesn't mean somebody else can't do it or do it better.
No mercy.
So at the age of 53, Mike Tyson is still training and says he wants to fight again for charity. A clip was recently released of Tyson training, and his hands still appeared quick in the short video. Shannon, good idea, bad idea for Tyson to fight again?
Oh, yeah, for charity. Oh, I thought they was talking about he was going to fight for real, Skip. Like, he was coming out of retirement to actually, like, fight a legit heavyweight. Somebody like a Tyson Fury or Anthony Joshua or Deontay Wilder. Skip, because if you look at it, George Foreman retired at 28, came back at 38. When Mike Tyson retired at 38 and trying to come back at 53. But if it's just for, but I want to know who the fool going to get in the ring with it for charity.
Yeah.
I'm not taking them blows for no charity, Skip. Not even with headgear. No, ain't no way. No. Mike Skip. This ain't no situation where, Hulk Hogan and Sylvester Stallone in the Rocky movies, Skip. This ain't no situation like that. Do they understand? Mike Tyson, did you see those punches? Skip, that man can still hurt you, even with headgear, even with body gear. Oh, no. Mike Tyson should not be fighting. I just want to know who the person going to get in the ring with him for charity. That's what I want to know. No, Mike Tyson should not be fighting anybody for charity, Skip. Mike Tyson end up hurting somebody for charity. What's going to happen?
Well, wait a second. Are you saying he could fight a credible heavyweight and be credible?
Skip, hold on. You talking about somebody that's active? Like, I'm talking about like an active heavyweight. I'm talking about a legit top 10 heavyweight. No. No. Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-mm. Allow me to disqualify myself. I've run into Mike Tyson a couple times in the last year or so. I like the guy. I think he has had some rebirth to him. I think he's been through so many travails in his life. He's lived like four lifetimes. And obviously, once upon a time, he got convicted of rape and he did 3 of his 6 years of the prison sentence. He's had drug problems and alcohol problems and God knows what depression problems, but he seems to have come through much of that. I don't know him well enough to know all that, but he seems like he's in a better place. And I did, Shannon, I loved what his trainer said in the article I read last night. His trainer, Rafael Cordero, said, "I believe Mike fought against himself for a long, long time. So do I. I think he did the most damage to himself." And
I agree.
All I know is when I watched that video, I was pleasantly shocked by it. In fact, I got chills watching it because I saw flashes of a 21 or 22-year-old Mike Tyson, like Cordero said. It looked shockingly powerful and quick to me. And to me, being a big boxing fan, again, Ali is the greatest, just untouchable, the greatest. But Mike Tyson was the most explosive heavyweight I've ever seen. And what he did in 1988 to Michael Spinks in 91 seconds of the first round, it was devastating. I'd never seen anything quite like that. That ball of fury and rage that was Mike Tyson. At 5'10", I don't know what he fought at, 230, 240. He just mauled people, and then he started to maul himself. He fell into the the rich and famous lifestyle, obviously, and it just devoured him. He lost to Buster Douglas, and I was there at ringside that night of June 8th in 2002 when he got embarrassed by Lennox Lewis in Memphis. And that was basically the end of Mike as we knew and tried to love him. And so it's been a long time. It's been 15 years since he last fought. It's been 17 years since he last won. But Shannon, it looks like he's on track to get in shape. It looked like he was carrying at least still 10, 15 extra pounds in the video I saw.
15?
But
man, skip back.
Yeah,
skip.
15.
Mike Tyson lucky like 280. He like 280.
No, he didn't. Not 280.
Yes.
Maybe 255.
Skip. No, wait. No, sir. No, sir. That's 280. Oh, skip. That man is solid. Look at that man's butt. Look at that. Look at his back. Look at his backside. I guarantee you Mike Tyson is 280.
Well, again, when I've seen him in Mike person, Tyson he did not look 280 to me. But the point is, well, you made the point. Can you imagine any other 53-year-old on this planet getting in the ring with Mike Tyson? Can you imagine Evander Holyfield? I'm sure Evander stays in pretty good shape. He's 57. Yeah. He's Michael Jordan's age. Would he dare to get back in the ring right now with Mike Tyson? I don't think so.
Yes.
I could be wrong. But
man,
you know what?
Yeah,
if those two wanted to fight again at 53 and 57, I'd pay to watch it. I would. I'd pay. I'm sorry. I would.
Skip.
Sue me.
Skip, we've been quarantined too long because we want to watch a 57-year-old and a 53-year-old get in the ring. But let me tell you what, Skip. Let me tell you who else looked good on IG. I get it. But let me tell you who else looked good on IG. Other heavyweight boxers. You know what I'm saying, Skip? We see guys put out their little video and they work it out like, oh man, he moving. Yeah, guess what? Look at those other guys. Everybody looks good when they're by themselves. It's when you get next to someone or you have to go up against someone that all of a sudden, like, well, damn.
I got it.
I thought he was fast or I thought he was good. Skip, look, if Mike wants to do this for charity, I get it. And I believe you're right. I believe he's had a rebirth and he did a lot more damage. 90%+ of the damage that was done to Mike Tyson was self-inflicted. But Skip, man, let this man. Mike Tyson he's not fighting it legit. Skip, to go back to that dark place, Skip, because the thing, like you said, you're competing against yourself. Once people got past the fear of fighting Mike, it was a different ball game.
Yeah.
That's half of any fight, whether it's a boxing, MMA, or a street fight. You gotta wanna be there.
Agreed.
Once you get past to that fear of wanting to be there, the fight's going to happen. Once people got over the fear of, man, that's Mike. Ooh, they're like, uh-uh. He a man just like me. He trained just like I did. And it wasn't until Buster Douglas beat him, Skip, he was no longer invincible and nobody shied away from fighting him. Up until that point, everybody was, they were beat before they got in the ring. They were afraid of him.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so help me out. Would Shannon Sharpe, who stays in very good shape at around, what are you, 53-ish, would you get in the ring with Mike Tyson for charity?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No. What kind of charity?
No?
I don't know.
What do you want? Shannon Sharpe Memorial Charity? Okay.
Dude.
Would you fight him for, I don't know, $500,000? Winner take all.
Would you do that? I would not fight. No, I would not fight Mike Tyson for $5 million, $10 million, $20 million. My health means far too much to me. What good is $20 million if I'm in a vegetative state? I'm in a wheelchair. I'm not a fighter, Skip. He need to go fight somebody that fought, that knows how to take a punch. I know the fight game, but I don't know how to take no punch. I don't know. Man, look here. I think he might have thrown a left, I throw a right, and that left hook take me smooth.
I got it.
No.
Okay, I got to tell you, it took my breath watching him throw those punches. That looked like true speed and power. And I was shocked by it, that a 53-year-old could throw like that. Usually when I'm watching boxers hit the mitts, it doesn't look like that. That looked different to me. That looked a little 20-ish, Mike Tyson.
The thing is, Mike packed so much power is because he put his entire body in all the shots. If you look at all the shots he threw, all his force was behind it. He was dropping dead weight on folk. But Skip, you have to understand, Just imagine those other heavyweights that's been active over the last decade, how fast their hands are. You know, when you go to a fight, Skip, fights on TV don't do it justice, how fast these guys are actually moving, how fast they're throwing the punches. Because they throw a punch so quick, and they've already, it's almost like a snake, they've already snapped that punch and back before you were like, damn, he hit, old boy. It's like, you get a delayed reaction. It's like, that ain't tape delay. It's like, he's snapping, boy, head. Nah, I want no part of Mike Tyson. I'm not going to pretend, look, I'm tough, I can handle my own, but I don't want no part of Mike Tyson. So don't get no ideas, Skip Bayless. No, not for $500,000, not for $50 million. Zero chance I'm getting in the ring.
Case closed.
I don't normally share an opinion here, but no fighting for either of you guys. I want everyone happy and healthy on this show.
Everybody's
zero
right.
Fighting.
Oh, I do that for my family.
I'm looking forward to
it. You got people saying, no mercy.